We're reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 to 5. The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer.
Brilliant. Thank you, Alison. Do keep 1 Timothy chapter 4 open in front of you. A very warm welcome to you. My name's James. I think Ben probably introduced me earlier. I wasn't listening. Sorry. Just before we look at God's word and before I pray, just to say that some of what is in here may be particularly hard to hear if you're single, if you're married and marriage is difficult, or if you have a particularly interesting or tricky relationship with food. If any of those issues are touched on, you'd like to talk afterwards, please do grab me or Ben would be happy to talk and pray with you about those things. Let me pray before we come before God's word again. Father God, we want to ask that we would humbly receive what you have to say to us through your word this morning. Spirit of truth, we ask that you would indeed speak to us. For your name's sake, for your glory. Amen. Well, if you thought that Ben had just stolen the Bar Humbug crown for his little gaffe during the Sunday children's slot, I might be stealing it back. Christmas can be a little bit awkward, can't it? Does that win? No, I'm not sure. I wonder if you can relate to this awkward thing that might happen to you at Christmas. It's late on Christmas Eve. A Christmas card comes through your letterbox. It's from a neighbour that you did not give a Christmas card to. How do you react when that happens? How do you feel? There are many situations in life in which it is normal to give something and not expect anything in return. If you are a teacher or a postman, you might expect a thank you card and a thank you present at Christmas. You'll be blessed by those things. Probably what you don't do is write back to everyone saying thank you for them. It's one way. But yet so often, for so many of us, we give presents. And we give presents to those who we think have got a good chance of giving us a present back. It's kind of two-way. And when we're caught out by the neighbour who puts a card through the letterbox too close to Christmas, well, we can feel awkward. We can feel uncomfortable. I wonder, how do we react to God? How do we react to God? How do we receive the gifts that he gives to us? This morning, we're concluding our series that we've called The Heartbeat of the Universe. We've been thinking about God as the God who gives, God the ultimate gift giver. Within himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is a constant giving. The Father gives life to the Son and the Spirit. The Son and the Spirit give eternal glory to the Father. And this overflows to us. It overflows to creation. God gives life. God gives health. God gives food. All of us, all of creation is dependent upon him and on his giving. And so as we turn to think about how we receive God's gifts, I'd like to start by saying that nothing is more important than receiving the gift of his Son. Through Jesus, God's grace is poured out abundantly. He offers to us the greatest gift possible, the greatest gift imaginable, a gift we do not deserve in any way. That came out one way eventually. The gift we do not deserve. We're going to read some words of Paul. Hopefully he's clearer than I am. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In those verses, Paul describes how he is completely unworthy of anything from God. Why would he deserve anything from God? He was a blasphemer, a persecutor. He was violent. He was horrible. He deserved nothing. And yet he was brought to know this truth, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And looking at the middle of that reading, Paul looks at all that God has done for him and says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. God's grace shown to us in Christ, poured out in Christ, forgiveness that we do not deserve, forgiveness that we could not earn, poured out on us abundantly. If you're one of God's people this morning, he's given you the gift of faith. He's given you that faith that you might believe in Jesus, that you might receive forgiveness and life in his name, and that you would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, God with you. There is nothing more important than receiving that gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, the words we were looking at last Sunday morning. The gift of Christ, the gift of his Spirit, the gift of abundant grace. There is nothing more important than receiving that gift. But yet this morning we're going to turn to look at all of the other blessings that God gives us and how we are to receive those. So firstly, God is good and his gifts are good. We're in the letter of 1 Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy. And one of the things he's trying to do in this letter is to equip him to deal with false teaching. We find that at the very beginning of the letter in chapter 1, verse 3, Paul tells Timothy, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer. Timothy is to stay in Ephesus and to deal with false teaching. And here in chapter 4, Paul is warning Timothy about one particular strand of that teaching. We see there in verse 2, Paul warns him of hypocritical liars who forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods. There are false teachers out there telling people to deny themselves. They're preaching what we might refer to as asceticism, denying yourself, particularly denying yourself physical pleasures, physical desires. And in these words, Paul emphatically counters this. He says that marriage and food are blessings. They're blessings that God created to be received with thanksgiving, verse 3, by those who believe and know the truth. Verse 4, for everything God created is good and nothing is to be rejected. Paul teaches Timothy to counter this false teaching. Nothing is to be rejected. Do not deny your body these pleasures. But I think we need to stop and ask ourselves a question at this point. Or rather, ask the scriptures this question. Aren't sometimes we told to deny ourselves certain things? Let's take marriage first. On one hand, we've got the false teachers who would forbid people from marrying. But if we look at Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians in chapter 7, Paul teaches us that it's good to be single, but also it's good to be married. In fact, he says that both of these things are gifts from God. Paul says, I wish that all of you were as I am, that is, single, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, the gift of singleness. Another has that gift, meaning the gift of marriage. Both situations are gifts from God. On one hand, the false teachers are forbidding marriage completely. But Paul is teaching that some won't marry, and that's a good thing. Some won't marry, and that is a good thing. But it's also a good thing that some will marry. And he also explicitly in that passage calls out that the physical relationship within marriage is also a good thing. So Paul is teaching that some denial is right. Some will deny themselves certain things for the kingdom. But he does not forbid marriage, and neither does he require singleness. Similarly, taking that subject of food, both Jesus and Paul teach very differently to these false teachers. In Mark 7, Jesus declares all food clean. And then in Romans chapter 14, Paul picks up that same topic. He says in the top verse there, whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to the Lord, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. Christians are free to eat or free to not eat. Jesus says all foods are clean. Paul says we're free to choose whether to eat certain foods or not. And then he goes on to explain a bit further, I'm convinced that nothing is unclean in itself, but if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person, it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. And so he's teaching us there that whilst we are free, we should also be willing to curtail our freedoms, to restrict ourselves for the sake of others. In love for others, we are not free to do everything we want to do. And so there is a place for denial, but there is also a place for receiving the gift of food and marriage from the Lord. So let's return to that question of the false teaching and why is it so serious? Look again with me at how Paul describes the teachers. In verse 1, he says that they are those who will abandon the faith. Their teaching is a gospel issue. In verse 2, he describes them as hypocritical liars. So what is the lie that they're teaching? Well, I think the lie is a lie about God. It's a lie about the Creator, a lie about his authority and his goodness. If I was to put words in their mouth and imagine what they were teaching, they'd be saying something like this. Marriage is not good. God does not want you to marry. These particular foods are not good. Good. God does not want you to enjoy them. Restrain yourself and you'll be truly saved. By forbidding and ordering and requiring things of those they are teaching, they are effectively saying you cannot be saved if you do not keep to these restrictions. And that is the lie. God is not good and he wants to restrict you from receiving these good gifts. They're hypocrites. They're offering freedom. But through any freedom through a different gospel is no freedom at all. The reality is that these restrictions would trap and snare and burden and lead others away from the faith as they themselves abandoned the faith. They are hypocritical liars, trapped by their own teaching, trapped by their own practice, trapping others whilst pretending to offer freedom. The truth is that God made marriage and God made all food to be received with thanksgiving. The truth is that they and we can only be saved by his grace. Salvation comes from God. It comes from Christ. It does not come from denying ourselves the good things that he offers us. It is all of Christ, all of his grace. The false teachers rooted in pride will lie about God and lead people away from him. The truth is that God is good and God gives us good gifts to enjoy. So what are we to learn from this? And I need to try and be very clear at this point. It is not wrong to restrain yourself. It is not wrong to restrain yourself. There are some who are called to be single for the sake of God's kingdom. You will meet Christians. You may be in this position yourself. You are teetotal, who choose not to drink alcohol, who set that boundary to keep themselves away from a particular temptation that they struggle with. You are completely free to be a vegetarian or a vegan. I could give other examples. But in your freedom to restrain yourself, don't impose that on other people. Don't be a burden. Do not require things. Do not inflict things on other people. A very trivial example, I'll share something of my own struggle here. I have a very sweet tooth. If I buy biscuits, they will get eaten too quickly by me. So ordinarily, I don't buy biscuits. Please feel all freedom to buy biscuits if that is not your struggle. Please also feel free to not buy biscuits if you think, hang on, James is onto something there. Less biscuits would be good for me. What is helpful for me is for me. I might commend it. I cannot require it. A man who I respect used to have seasons of abstaining from caffeine because he knew that he had a tendency to be over-reliant on that drug that would help him stay awake for longer, stimulate him to survive with less sleep. He was a pastor. He never commanded that. He never commended it that strongly, but if you knew him well, you knew if he was going... Sorry, it wasn't obvious he was going through that season. I was about to stumble over my own words there. If you knew him well, you knew he was going through a season of not drinking caffeine, not because he was grouchy, but because he just didn't have coffee for a while. But think again about the lie the false teachers were teaching. that lie that God is not good and that he doesn't want you to enjoy the gifts he gives you. You might have heard all I've said and thought, it just seems very extreme. I could never see myself restricting myself that completely on anything. And I've never tried to impose myself on other people. But maybe there are other ways that we still believe that same lie. And I wonder if we can face that tendency to feel guilty about enjoying God's good gifts. It is good of us to give of the things we have been given for the sake of God's kingdom. It is good to devote our time and our energy and our money to him. In fact, we were thinking completely last week about how we are to give of what we receive from the Lord. And yet, this is not at the expense of any and all enjoyment of the good gifts that he gives us. God does not call you to always eat the blandest, simplest, cheapest, quickest meal to carve out more time for serving him. Don't survive on buttered toast. Enjoy the variety of all that he gives you. If you're married, make time for that relationship. It's a gift to be enjoyed, invested in, prioritized. Don't buy this lie that the false teachers are spreading in any way. God is good and he gives good gifts. Secondly, receive God's gifts with thanksgiving. Receive God's gifts with thanksgiving. How should we respond to those good gifts that the Lord gives us? We get the phrase twice here in these verses, receive with thanksgiving. Let's take that word receive first. And receiving a gift is almost so obvious, I feel bad for saying it. But when one person gives a gift, there is someone else who has to receive that gift. And as we thought in the introduction, there is that very, I would say a British temptation, it's probably a human temptation. There is a real temptation to feel awkward about receiving from people. How would you feel when that neighbour puts through the Christmas card and you don't have a chance to reciprocate, or you weren't planning on reciprocating? The same with gifts. How do you feel? If someone gives you a gift and you haven't planned to give them one back, do you say, wow, thank you, that's amazing, thank you, whilst also at the back of your mind thinking, I haven't got you anything? When it comes to God's gifts, we must remember that we are creatures before our Creator. God made everything. Everything is there for our good, and it is all there to be received. Our Creator gives. He knows our needs and he meets them. And so as creatures, we are to humbly receive from him all that we need. Let's take food as an example. Maybe a pertinent week for this. It can be easy to feel disconnected from where our food comes from, can't it? For most of us, our food will not come from a garden. It comes from a transaction with a supermarket. But the reality is that for us to eat, God sends the rain. God sends the sun. And that is how the crops grow. God provides the energy needed for the tractors and the lorries and the ships and the planes. God provides you with the skills and the talents and the passion, the interests to keep you in work. God puts money in your bank account. We're very disconnected from where our food comes from, but ultimately, it all comes from God. As creatures, we receive from his hand, and we receive humbly. If he gave us nothing, we'd have empty hands. All that we need is given to us. And then we are to receive with thanksgiving. I really hope that you all get one genuinely amazing Christmas present this week. The sort of present where you can't help but look the gift giver in the eye and say, it's perfect, thank you. I'm glad my family have left the room because it makes it slightly less awkward. Shouldn't it be like that with God's gift to us? God created to be received with thanksgiving. God created to be received with thanksgiving, it says in verse 3. When he created marriage, when he created food, they were made good so that we would receive them with thanksgiving, that we might give thanks to him. I assumed when I first came to this passage, I was just going to say in this section, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful, and we will get to that. But let's not rush over this. God made things good for us. He made them good for us, that as we receive them, we might say, wow, thank you. We've thought about how, as his creatures, God meets our needs. But he doesn't just meet them, does he? God meets our needs and then some. Let's think about Christmas again. Think about some of the flavors of Christmas. Where would we be without spice? No mince pies, no Christmas cake, no mulled wine, no Lebkuchen. Where would we be without nuts? No stuffing, no marzipan in the stollen. Where would we be without the zing of a chutney and some nice calming cheese to balance it out? Where would we be without chocolates in all different shapes and sizes? Was that a good groan or a... I hope that was... Imagine you don't have chocolate, yeah. Where would we be without turkey? At least for one day a year. And somehow Twiglets as well, which I think I missed off our shopping list. The Creator doesn't just meet our needs. He gives us food to enjoy. God's gifts to us are amazing. He more than meets our needs. And what he gives to us is to be received with thanksgiving. And as we dwell on how amazing his giving is, hopefully that will become easier for us to do. And so we are to give thanks. We are to receive God's gifts with thanksgiving. So we need to ask ourselves how thankful we are. Am I thankful for the gifts that God has given me? Or do we treat God a bit like the child who has a Christmas tree or the pile of presents underneath, and the presents are snatched and opened so quickly, opened in a flash, and played with? The child doesn't even really know who to turn to and who to say thank you to. Do we snatch from God? Or do we stop and say thank you to him for all of the things that he gives us? Again, maybe pertinent for this week, are we thankful for the food we receive? We live in a relatively wealthy nation. Food for us is relatively easy. Many of us will struggle with the awkward problem of having a fridge that is frankly too full this week. I think we are spoilt. It can be easy to be ungrateful, to assume that there will always just be food for us. Now this week, as you enjoy food, and perhaps particularly as you enjoy food that you only have once a year, or as you enjoy more variety than normal, be thankful. Stop and say thank you to the Lord for the food and how good it is. If you have a regular habit of praying as you sit down to eat, maybe it's time to shake that prayer up a bit. Say something different. Some households like to have a prayer dice which they roll, which keeps the grace different every day of the week, depending on statistics. You might want to look at the food and say, thank you for this food and its flavor. Thank you for this food and its color. Thank you for this food and its texture. Whatever it is that appeals to you about what you receive this week and ongoingly. Am I thankful for this? How can I be more thankful for it? Am I thankful for the other people that God has put in my life? I know I take the people closest to me for granted. And yet the people closest to me represent the greatest of blessings, besides the gift of God's Son. Maybe this week's a good time to stop and be thankful for the people God has given you. But I think it's also worth asking, am I using God's gifts in a way that I can be thankful for them? I mentioned earlier that we are not to feel guilty about enjoying God's gifts. And I think that's true. But I do want to balance that with a warning. We can also abuse God's gifts. There is such a thing as too much wine. There is such a thing as too much food. There is such a thing as too much luxury. And that letter that James writes to the church, he warns against the rich in the church, seeing those in need in the church and just saying, okay, I see your need, I'll pray for you. You can enjoy a steak occasionally. There's only so many steaks you can enjoy without feeling guilty about others who are starving. Don't feel guilty about enjoying God's gifts, but I do need to balance that with a warning. Don't abuse God's gifts. It might be worth asking yourself the question, or maybe asking this with someone else. If there's something in your life that you're not thankful for, could it actually be that you are not receiving it from God's hands and not being thankful for it because you are not using that gift as God intended? It might be something to discuss with someone further. Is there something in my life that I receive and I'm not thankful for? And why is that? Is it a gift that the Lord gives me that I'm not using as the Lord intended? As we draw to a close throughout this series, we've heard something of that heartbeat of the universe, a God who gives. Many of us will enjoy in the coming days many of God's gifts, the gift of food, the gift of marriage, the gift of family, of other people and other relationships. Let's enjoy those things without guilt, without undue restriction, with thankful hearts and thankful words. Let's above all be thankful for God's Son. We're going to read some words from John chapter 1, perhaps familiar words for we hear in this season. Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. Let's be thankful for God's Son this season as we receive that gift. If that gift of salvation is not something that you have received, I'd love to talk more about that. God offers you forgiveness and peace and life and freedom from sin, freedom from guilt. A gift to be received by believing in the name of Jesus. Privilege of being a child of God.